All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need you today, Lord, like every day. I need your words today, Lord, and your message. Hide me behind your cross. Lord, I know it's been a serious week for many of us, a very difficult week and a half, Lord, and there's things that happen in this world we don't understand, but when we don't, we look in your word, Lord, to see if there's anything that you want us to learn from it, Lord. We pray for your message and thank you for today's opportunity. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so if you're like myself and like many of us, you're probably recording Charlie Kirk's tribute today on Fox. No, it's not a plug for it, but I know as Christians, the last week and a half has been very tough. My message is called Courage of Faith. So to me, faith is courage over fear, love over hate, and salvation over death. I want to look at those three today. I want to first just, for those of you who may not know who Charlie Kirk was, it seems like everybody asks if they're 20 and younger, they know. If you're college age, you know. Maybe a lot of us that were older didn't quite know him before. I did. I listened to him a lot. I listened to this podcast. I used to love Charlie Kirk. There's not a topic that he talked about that he didn't bring full circle back to Christ and his salvation. You know, the older folks in here probably remember JFK, maybe MLK. Those were horrific assassinations. It paused the country, made everybody question what's going on, and it brought many to churches. Today's youth will remember Charlie Kirk for decades to come. He is a modern-day Christian martyr. Some call him a political martyr, but he's not. It's what the world wants to see him as. But he was killed for his message, for his word, like MLK. As a matter of fact, since MLK, there have been no other non-political figure that's been assassinated. Yes, Trump was attempted assassination twice, and I think most politicians know there's always that at risk. But for a non-politician to be assassinated is the first time since MLK. Why? Well, my first verse today is one that we all know very well. John 14:16 reads, I am the truth and the way, the truth and the life. Sounds simple to us who know Christ, but it's very controversial to others. I mean, we've all had our discussion with friends when we try to witness. What do you mean, the only way? Don't all roads lead to Rome? No, they don't. And Charlie was very clear about that. It was controversial then, it's controversial now. I love Charlie Kirk's foundation. It's called Turning Point. It's a perfect name for it, as he turned many towards Christ. At 19, he was going to go to college like most people, most kids. College is not what it used to be, and he knew that. He knew the devil has been indoctrinating our children from school systems, social media, everywhere. Well, he met the devil right where he was at. 3,500 campuses. Are you kidding me? 3,500 campuses. From 19 till the Lord took him home at 31, he asked around, he said, should I go to college? Most people said, yeah, you need to go to college to succeed. But he didn't conform to the ways of this world. He had a calling that many of us may never have. But his calling was to turn many towards Christ. And at 19 years old, he came up with an incredible idea to start where the devil's taken over in our schools, high schools, and colleges. You know, he welcomed debate. He welcomed disagreement. In law school, we call that the Socratic method. Those of you who've gone through law school, like Wesley, myself, you know that, you know, you're often asked to take the exact opposite position that you believe in. And it makes for some great debate. It also makes you listen to the other side. How can you turn someone to Christ if you don't know where they're coming from? If you don't listen first? And Charlie was amazing at that. I am the truth and the way, the truth and the life. There is no other way. It's either Christ or hell. He knew that. He made it real simple. He didn't sugarcoat it. How does he want to be remembered? We've heard it already. I'm sure most of us have heard anything about Charlie Kirk, know his quote and how he wants to be remembered. He says, I want to be remembered for courage of my faith. The most important thing is my faith, he says. Most important thing is my faith. He said it three times. What's your most important thing? Are we like the world where faith comes in secondary? We're chasing money, careers, school, sometimes the flesh, our habits. How many rabbit holes do we go in every week? Social media, games, hobbies, work. Yeah, work can be a rabbit hole too. It can be an idol too. I don't want to be remembered for being the hardest working attorney or the smartest person. I don't. I want to remember for my work for Christ. What did I do for Christ? Did I turn one soul? I mean, I have 3,500 campuses to go to, but do I have 35 people that I know? Who's my circle of influence? Who's your circle of influence? And you know what? We may not all be Charlie Kirks, but there's a lot of encouragers out there too. I know that people encouraged me before I came to Christ. A gentleman named Bill Montgomery encouraged Charlie Kirk. Maybe you're the next Bill Montgomery, where behind the scenes, you're helping rise up the next Charlie Kirk. The next Charlie Kirk could be right here in our church. Upstairs, right now, hearing the word, like he did when he was little. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Yes, even if it's in a tent on a campus where you get killed, he's there. So why was he assassinated? How do we even process that? Why are we surprised? It was disgusting to see some people cheer on his death. It was insane. That's the mob for you. We remember the last time the mob got a hold of the world. We know how they react when George Floyd's of the world, criminals get killed. They burn down the cities. But the media glorified it, didn't they? Not Charlie Kirk. He's assassinated for his belief in Christ. So why are we surprised? Last week I was talking to my brother Alex Romanoff in the blue room, and you know, Blue Room is such a blessing. We often encourage each other. As a matter of fact, my whole message changed after talking to Alex. Because we're all surprised, right? But we shouldn't be surprised. Let's look at the story of the crowd chooses Barabbas. Matthew 27:15. For a little insight as to why the world acts this way. You may remember this is after Christ has already been captured. He already knows his fate. He knew his fate from the beginning, but he's already headed there. We know what's happening. He's in front of Pontius Pilate. Let's start at Matthew 27:15. Now at the feast for the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that righteous man. For I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas, George Floyd, Barabbas, the criminal, then what should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified. You know, amazing, since then, there's pardons, clemency. We've seen it. We've seen it with Biden in the auto pen. We've seen it with our own governor. That's been around for a long time. But are we surprised who the world chooses? We shouldn't be. Notice even in describing him, even then there was propaganda. You know, you see propaganda in the media all the time, just in the way they word things, right? He could have said, should I release Barabbas, this horrible criminal who committed a laundry list of things, or Jesus? No. Even in the presentation, he biased it. Do you want me to release Barabbas or Christ? Jesus, who calls himself Christ. That's a blasphemy in their world. Who do you choose? Do you choose Christ or Barabbas? Have you chosen Christ? If you haven't, you're on Barabbas' side. You're with the mob. Because until you come to Christ, we're all Barabbas. Are you choosing the way of the world in everything you do? Or are you choosing the way of Christ? Okay, so maybe we're not surprised as to how the world is dealing with Charlie. So how should we react? Should we leave here and go burn down the city? Should we go and fight fire with fire? Should we just get mad? I know in the last week I was mad, sad. What do we do? Okay, let's look at Scripture. Can't rely on our emotions. Let's look at Scripture, see what happens when similar things happen. When we're able to lash out, should we? Let's look at Acts 16:22 when Paul and Silas are in prison. The crowd, by the way, this is after they've been beaten, persecuted. They have every right to hate the prisoner guards there. Let's see what they do. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wow. And the other prisoners were listening to him. How many of us would be singing in that situation? I wouldn't be. I'd be taking my spoon, digging a hole somewhere so I can get out of there. What in the world? What do you mean you're singing in the middle of this? Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chain came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Now, what would we have done? I think we'd have exit stage left. I might have even looked at it. I might have just gotten out of there. But no, that's not what Christ wants us to do. So Paul said, don't harm yourself. We are all here. See, Paul knew that God put him in jail for a reason. How would he leave jail and not take advantage of the opportunity? The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Wow, what a great question. Would you rather attack your enemy or have him ask you this? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. Amazing. Wow. What a turn of events. What in the world? You know, Billy Graham said that faith is like a muscle. the more you use it, the stronger it gets. Remember the story of Joseph? If my brothers sold me to the gypsies, I don't know that I'd forgive them. I guess I have to now that I'm a Christian, right? But how hard would the flesh want to get them back? But see, Joseph knew that everything that happened to him, from being sold to the gypsies to ending up in number two position, was not his doing. It was orchestrated by God. And when Joseph had the opportunity to seek revenge on his brothers, what did he do? Well, I'll tell you what he said. Genesis 50:20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about to many people should be kept alive as they are today. Wow. He knew faith. He understood faith. But see, that wasn't the first time that he had to count on his faith. He has so many other small opportunities where his faith kept growing and growing and growing. Why? Because he relied on Christ. He relied on God. He put his faith to work. Are we putting our faith to work? When's the last time you took a leap of faith? You know, a lot of times I'm up here and or I'm sharing or witnessing, and I feel like compelled to like convince the atheists that there's a God. And sometimes we try to do it through scripture. You know, it's some beautiful scripture that just points to it. You know, as a Christian, you look at the scripture and it's like, oh, it's like so enlightening. But before you come to Christ, you're like, that's foolishness. It's hard to believe, right? But there's no egghead solution, guys. You know, you may not all know what egghead means, but it's kind of like a nerd term, right? When you're in school, if you're an egghead, it's a big head because you're a little bit of a nerd. And most nerds, most eggheads, we want science. We want 2 + 2 = 4. We want to be able to understand logically, why is it this way? Why is it that Christ is the only way? I'm afraid to tell you, there's no egghead solution. If it was, it wouldn't be called faith. You know, speaking of science, people, you know, even as a kid, I used to always think, well, you know, even then the schools used to indoctrinate you. It's like, well, you know, science, it's either the Big Bang Theory or it's, you know, creation. That's the choices they give you. You know, we've all heard now, well, wait a second, you know, God could have made a Big Bang when he created it. But, you know, even scientists, you know, of all the scientists, we all think there's atheists. You know, 75% of the scientists out there that consider themselves professional scientists are believers. That's a lot. But the world would like us to believe the opposite. And don't forget, the loudest voice is not always right. Sometimes we hear that 5% voice, and it makes the other 95% of us doubt things. So what's your biggest and most important leap of faith? Coming to Christ, I hope. For me, it was. I've taken some silly leaps. I mean, I've taken some bad leaps. I mean, I don't have time to tell you some of the bad leaps that I've taken in life. But the leap of faith of Christ is the most important one in my life. It changed me tremendously. And it saved me. No fear consequences. That's what courage also means. You know, how many times we've been with a coworker or out in a place, and you leave, you look back, you're like, you know, I probably could have witnessed there. It's happened. I know it's happened to me. It's convicting, isn't it? Okay? We may not have a circle of influence of 3,500 campuses, but the Lord's going to give you plenty of opportunities. For what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Brother Randy was just telling me before I came on that there's an insane amount of requests to open up new chapters of Turning Point in different campuses everywhere. How many people is that going to save? How many people are going to go to Christ because of Charlie's death? You know, there's no fear as part of courage of faith, but also you have to expect great things, don't you? You must expect God to use you for great things. If God's not using you for great things, you're just not looking. And that great thing might be just turning one soul to Christ, because that person you turn to Christ might be the next Charlie Kirk. Do you hope God can? Or do you know God can? Romans, one of my favorite ones, do not conform. Let's read it. Sometimes I paraphrase and I forget that there's power in the word. I shouldn't paraphrase. There's power in the word. There's a way the Lord wrote these words to when you read them or hear them, there's power in them. One of my favorite verses, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, for those who are doctors or scientists, you know, there's so much more truth to this than they realized back then, because when we watch something, whether it be something horrible or something good, when you watch something, your brain literally connects. There's a synapse gap, is what they call it, between these neurons, and there's a little gap, and there's a little boom, electricity that happens, and your brain gets imprinted with that. You may or may not remember it, but it's in your brain. That's why it's really important that our children, their minds get transformed with a proper view of things. I'm convinced that our social media has algorithms from the devil, and we have to be careful how much screen time these kids see. Don't conform to the world. Charlie never did. Nothing about him conformed to the world. Have you noticed the most successful man we hear about, a man that dropped out of, didn't go to college, and education is not what people think it is. You don't need education to succeed for the Lord. Sure, you need education if you want to go down the regular route of conformity, but what if God has something specially planned for you? You know, the thing about Charlie, too, is, you know, many, you know, you heard Adrian Rogers say this all the time. We've all heard Adrian Rogers being the salt of the world. And he says, you can't just salt the salt. You got to salt the world. What's that mean? We're here every Sunday hearing his word. We're not here just to preach to ourselves. Whatever we hear, whether it be Bible memory verse, whether it be your own devotions, go salt the world. Charlie did. You know, it didn't say he went to church 3,500 times, did it? He went out and witnessed at 3,500 campuses. There's millions of young adults. Expect great things from your walk with Christ. Is your walk with Christ boring lately? Expect great things. It's a spiritual attack from the devil, it really is. All right, so I'm almost out of time. I told you, for me, faith is courage over fear, love over hate, and salvation over death. So how do we fight back? What do? We pray. With prayer, with love, where you go, what you buy, conversations you have, debates you have, spreading the gospel, whatever it takes. Here's one of my favorite quotes from Charlie. I'm far more interested in what God wants of me than what I want from God. You just want to speak the truth. Christ says, go make disciples of the nations. Are you far more interested in what God wants of you? Or are your prayers about what you want from God? I too find myself sometimes asking God for things for me or my family. But let's not forget to ask God, what does he want from us? What's my walk look like right now? I'll tell you one thing about Charlie. He was the hardest worker of his generation. He worked, I mean, you have no idea how many miles he flew. I mean, he worked countless hours. I don't think he ever took a break. How efficient is our walk with Christ? Are we taking breaks? Okay, so salvation over death. If you're a Christian, you already have salvation over death. Isn't that beautiful? We talked about it earlier today. We worship because of Christ dying on the cross for us. What will the Lord find you doing when he comes back? Or when he takes you? Will he find you working for him or for you? If you know Christ, make sure he finds you working for him. Now, if you don't know Christ, there's anybody here who doesn't quite know him, is not sure, maybe somebody's watching this later. If you haven't committed your life to Christ, let today be the day. Let the most important leap of faith be today. I'm going to finish with one more Charlie quote. He says, Jesus saved my life. I'm a sinner. Gave my life to Christ. The most important decision I ever made. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the examples you give us, Lord. We thank you so much for being with us. We thank you, first of all, for your salvation, Lord. And Lord, anybody here is not yet sure of it. Let today be their turning point to you, Lord. Guide us, help us, push us, make us work harder for you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.